going to begin reading in 2 Timothy, and we're going to go to Luke. We're going to talk about striving for God's purpose. You know, at the first of the year, as Pastor Dwayne just mentioned, we're praying and fasting. As I said, it's a time to reconnect, and it's also a time to refocus and realign our lives with God's purpose. You know, the only reason that we're still here is because God has a purpose for us. Are you listening? Without a purpose, why should we be here? You're not here to pay off your house. I got a better house up there. Why would I be worried about this one down here? I'm not here to, lay up some money so I can get to retirement. Listen, nothing wrong with these things. Don't misunderstand me. But that's not my purpose. Too often in the church, even, we allow the world's purpose to become our purpose. Pastor Dwayne talked about being dumbed down. I'm telling you what, we can become dumbed down concerning our purpose. And we think our purpose is just like the world's purpose, to see how much stuff we can accumulate, to make sure we can get up enough stuff for retirement and live a good life and blah, 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 blah. But I want to tell you what, if you're a Christian, a born-again child of God, your purpose is greater than that. It's higher than that. It's more valuable than that. And God has called you to walk out that purpose. And so in the process of time, all this other stuff can tend to crowd in around us. Does it crowd in around you? You know, work and job and this and that and all the stuff we do and what we call living this life. It begins to crowd around us. It begins to distract us. It begins to rush in. And before we know it, we can lose sight of our purpose. And so at the first of the year, it is a good time to pray, and some of us, we even fast some, to reconnect with that purpose that God, and to get some clarification on that purpose. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul is speaking. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also those who have longed for his appearing. Who have longed for his appearing. Now, I want you to turn, if you will, turn to, keeping that in mind, turn to Luke 13. God has called every one of us. Are you listening? The calling is what we call, we refer to it as salvation. Some of us refer to it as being born again. Some of us refer to it as becoming a Christian. Some of us refer to it as becoming a part of the church. All of that, that still constitutes what? God calling us. The Bible says He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And He has called us for a purpose. Amen? He has called us for a purpose. While you're there in Luke, let me read you one other scripture here that helps to affirm what I'm saying here about being called. I want to read you a scripture here from 2 Timothy. You don't have to turn over there. Just stay there at Luke 13 because we're going to go straight there after I read this. Notice what he says here in verse 9. He says, who has saved us and called us. So how many of you know when he said, when there's an and in there, there's a conjunction in there, that's hooking up what? Two things, isn't it? Two separate thoughts coming together. So he has saved us, but he says he's also called us. So if you're saved, you're also called. Amen? Amen? You can't be called without being saved, but you can't be saved without being called. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. So we're saved by grace, but we're called for purpose. Saved by grace, but called for purpose. And I'm so glad to be saved. Isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to know that your sins are forgiven? Isn't it good to know that God is for you and not against you? Isn't it good to know that as we go through this life, I belong to God? Oh, I belong to God. No man can take me out of God's hand. No devil can take me out of God's hand. No matter what I face, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Let's just say that together. I'm saved. That just feels good to say it, doesn't it? Let's say that again. I'm saved. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's not mad at you. God's not out to get you. God's on your side. God's for you. You're saved. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you know, most of us are very familiar with that part of our relationship in the kingdom, that we're saved, we're forgiven, we belong to God. And that's great, but we're also called for a purpose. And I want to talk to you about that second part, called for a purpose. Called for a purpose. I'm so glad that I have a purpose that's bigger than just paying the bills. Amen? I mean, I'm glad that God enables me to pay my bills, but you know what? I don't get a thrill out of paying bills. Do you get a thrill out of that? It just sends a thrill up and down your spine when you pay that mortgage or that car payment or that credit card payment or that light bill. Don't you just get thrilled? Not. I mean, we're thankful that we can pay it, but it's not a thrill. But see, the purpose of God is bigger than that. Because your purpose is connected to God. It's connected to lifting people. It's connected to bringing other people out of darkness into light. It's connected to all the goodness that is in God. And it can flow through you to someone else. God's purpose. And in Luke 13, he talks about here in verse 24, Jesus said, he said to them, strive, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. The word strive there, I want to key off of that little word here today as it relates to God's purpose for us. Jesus said, strive to enter in to the narrow door or the narrow gate, the King James says. The narrow way. That word strive there, I want to bring out some of the hidden meanings to that. The word strive means to struggle. Oh boy. Struggle. Oh, but we just want it easy. Don't tell me we got to struggle. Don't tell me there's going to be don't tell me that, Pastor. We're going to go to that church where it tells us everything's going to be okay. Well, everything is going to be okay if you strive. God's salvation is by grace, but His purpose, it takes effort, Jesus said. He says you have to struggle to enter into the purpose of God. The purpose of God doesn't just fall on you like rain on a rainy day. He says you've got to strive. It means as to compete for a prize. Remember what we read about over there about where Paul said, he said, I have run my race. I have kept the faith. I've done all that God has called me to do in this purpose of life, and now there's laid up for me a crown. That's what he's talking about. It's to strive for a prize. Now look in Philippians 3. Turn over there. 3:14. Notice what the Apostle Paul says here. Verse 14. We're talking about this word strive. Jesus said, strive to enter into the purpose, the narrow gate of God. In verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. The prize. Paul's saying, he said, there's a prize to be won. This purpose of God, it brings with it reward. It brings with it blessing. It brings with it a crown of righteousness. Listen, thank God if you own a home and you pay it off. Thank God for that blessing. But you know what? You can't take that home with you. Can you? I mean, maybe you'll leave it to one of your children or a grandchild or somebody. But you know, you won't take it with you. Isn't that right? You're not going to take that 401k with you. Amen? You're not going to take it with you. Whatever is left here, I mean, thank God for that. Don't misunderstand me. But listen, that's not the prize he's talking about. The prize is that what? Fulfilling the purpose of God. Finding out, what is it, God, that you've called me to live my life for? It's not to pay off a house. It's not to pay the bills. It's to live for God in such a way that His grace and His love and His forgiveness and His goodness is flowing through me to someone else. Listen, God, you know, listen, the worst thing that could happen for a Christian is that you go to heaven alone. Do you know what I mean by that? Is that you go without taking anybody else. That your life did not have enough of a purpose revealed through it that it influenced someone else so that they also make it to heaven. Listen, 1,000 years from now, think about it a moment. What's going to be important to you? Boy, I'm telling you, I remember when I had that latest style. Some of us are old enough to remember a lot of latest styles. Isn't that right? And some of us have been around long enough that we see the styles come around again. Isn't that right? Some of y'all nodding your head, giving away your age. I won't tell. It's true, isn't it? It's nothing new. They bring it back around again. You know, about every 20 years, you know, and bring it back around. But 1,000 years from now, we're not going to remember, man, yeah, I remember when I had the latest styles. You know? Can anybody even remember who was the it man in the 50s? Or the it woman in the 50s when it came to styles or clothes or anything? Who was the it person in the 20s? That's only 90 years ago. We're talking about 1,000. So what we have to do is from time to time, we have to put things in perspective. And see, at the first of the year like this, as we pray, as we wait on God in our fasting, all of a sudden we get things put back into perspective again. And yes, I wish I could tell you, you won't have to get up tomorrow and go to work. But you probably will. But that's not your purpose. That's not your purpose. Paul said, I'm striving for that prize. He says, I'm running. He says, I'm giving every effort to it. Isn't that right? You know, we live in a society here, especially in America, where sports is pretty popular, isn't it? Football, baseball, basketball, hockey, all the different sports. And if you've ever gone to see a game like that, especially on a high level, you know what? You see athletes that have trained themselves. They have given themselves to a purpose that they are going to master this sport. They're going to strive to be the best. They're going to give excellence. And you know what? That didn't happen by them sleeping 12 hours a day and eating the other 12. No, it took what? It took effort. It took focus. It took purpose. It took effort, didn't it? Discipline. This is what Paul's talking about. This is what Jesus is saying. He said, if you want to compete for the prize of that heavenly calling, that prize of the purpose of God for your life, where you make a difference. Listen, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, there was something on the inside of me that was not there before. Are you listening? And a part of that something was this, that I was meant to make a difference. I didn't have that before. Before, all I cared about was me. All I cared about was the pleasure of the moment. All I cared about was what was going to profit me. If it didn't profit me, if it didn't make me happy, I didn't have time for it. But once I got saved, there was something on the inside of me that says there's more to it than this, that I was called to make a difference in the lives of people in this world, that now it wasn't just about me, it was about others as well. This is what Jesus is talking about. This word not only means to struggle and to compete for a prize, it also means to contend as with an adversary. I want to tell you something. If you're going to accomplish God's purpose, if your life is going to have meaning in it, you're going to enter into some conflict. Ephesians 6:10. Turn over there to Ephesians. Ephesians 6. finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Pull on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes, plans, attacks. For our struggle, see that word? Our struggle. He didn't say our party, our vacation. He said our struggle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So when Jesus said to strive, it means that there's going to be what? Some contention. Some contention. Too often in the church, we are looking for a way out instead of a way in. Are you listening? Tell us how we can avoid the conflict. Tell us how we can avoid the problems. Tell us how we can avoid the tests and trials of life. Tell us how we can avoid. Tell us the easy way. Give us the shortcut. Come on. In our generation, we want something for nothing. We want to give the minimum and gain the maximum. But it's not that way in the kingdom. Jesus said, you want to gain your life? You first got to give it all up. You got to lose your life in order to gain your life. So before we can gain the purpose of God, we've got to be willing to what? To know this, that we're going to be some contention in it. Because we have an adversary, and it's not that person sitting next to you. It's not your boss. It's not your coworker. It's not those people that are talking about you or against you. No, he says it's in that spiritual realm. The enemy is coming against you. He is scheming against you because he has a purpose for your life as well. And his purpose is darkness, is discouragement, is defeat, is fear, is a disillusionment. He wants to keep you out of the race. And so he comes against you. He orchestrates circumstances. He begins to whisper to you all the stuff that is negative. You'll never amount to anything. You can't do it. That's not for you. You tried that once. Your grandma tried that once. Whatever it is, anyway, he can discourage you from following after the purpose of God. Listen, how many of you know that it is not possible for everybody on the planet to be an Olympian athlete? Does that come as a shock to you? The number one reason is what? Most people will not do what it takes to become an Olympian. Isn't that right? Secondly, not everybody has what? That skill level. Isn't that right? But in the kingdom of God, it's a little bit different. As a matter of fact, it's a lot different. Because in the kingdom of God, every one of us are capable of fulfilling God's purpose. Are you listening?
Yeah, come on.
You can fulfill God's purpose. It's not just for a few. It's not just for the people we see on TV. It's not just for the people that we hear about that's got a big church or a big ministry. It's for regular people, just like you and me. God has a purpose for you and I. We can make a difference in our own life, in our own sphere of influence. You can make a difference at that job. You can make a difference at that campus where you attend classes. You can make a difference wherever you are if we walk out and fulfill God's purpose for our life. Because your life is meant to mark other people. As a matter of fact, your life is marking other people. For good or for worse. Isn't that right? For better or for worse. For good or for evil. But your life is making a difference. And your life is meant to make a difference. And it's up to you and I as to whether or not we will do what it takes. Strive, struggle, stand against the schemes and the workings of the enemy. Will we do what it takes so that our life can become that which glorifies God and fulfills our purpose? And when people get around us, their life is marked. I don't mean just because you preach at them 24/7, But because they're around your life, because God has done something in you, Jesus said this. He said, if a light is in you, it can't be hidden. If the light of God is in us, it cannot be hidden. So here's the thing. We've got to contend with all the things that come against us. Because you know what? The enemy wants you to be all absorbed with yourself. We probably live in the most narcissistic society that probably that's been around for many an age. You know what I mean by that? Self-absorbed. 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 And that, you know, we go around and we're so self-absorbed everywhere, you know, with our lives. It's no wonder we don't make a difference in anybody else's, because we didn't even know they were there. Oh, you mean there's somebody else on the planet? Come on. We think we're the only ones that have a problem. We're the only ones that have it tough. We're the only ones that's had to go through it. We're the only one. And all we do, you know, we're like a horse that used to put those blinders on them like this, you know. They come out like this. You see some of those old pictures or whatever, you know. They come out like this. The reason was what? They didn't want them to see anything but just what was right in front of them. And we get these blinders. We get these things on our eye, and we can't see anything around us. We can't see anybody else. We're not in touch. We're not in tune with God, and we're not in tune with anybody else around us. It's just about me. As long as everything's all right with me, everything's all right. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. But if something's wrong with me, I'm telling you what, everybody better be miserable. How dare you laugh? Don't you know what I'm going through? You know, because we're absorbed with ourselves. So he said, we got to contend, because life wants to press us into ourselves, doesn't it? Yeah. It wants to compress us and say, oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. He wants us to feel sorry for ourselves. Begin to look at ourselves and say, oh, God. Oh, I got it so hard. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, it's so terrible. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh. You know, and we don't want to get out of our little old shell. We don't want to get out of ourselves. You see, this is why Jesus said, you got to strive. You got to strive. You got to struggle. This word strive means also to endeavor to accomplish something through labor. To endeavor to accomplish something. Listen, what are we wanting to do? Are we wanting to build something here that is temporary, or do we want to build something that's more permanent? For the kingdom. See, I found this out. What I do for the kingdom is eternal. What I do in this life is temporary. Do you understand what I mean? And so as we're walking out this temporary life that we all are living, working, sleeping, eating, and doing all those natural things, there is a higher labor that God's called us to. Are you listening? There's a higher labor that He's called us to as His body. As His church, as a part of His kingdom, He's called us together to labor, to what? To build and expand the kingdom of God. And we do that, what? One life at a time, don't we? We do that one life at a time. Why do we come together as the church? Well, number one, we come together, what? To remind ourselves of what? Our purpose. Our purpose. Why do we start off our meeting here with worship? Why do we start off our meeting with worship? Because that's one of our purposes. Are you listening? One of our purposes is what? To worship Him. To worship Him. But how many times are we so wrapped up with our own stuff, our own lives, our own cares, that we come and we may sing, but we don't worship? Because if something's on your mind other than the one we've come to worship, you haven't worshiped. You've sung some songs. You've clapped your hands. You know, we've trained ourselves. We can do anything, can't we? We can do this and be thinking about, you know, off somewhere else. We can lift our hand and be, you know, all concerned about, you know, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Oh, yeah. Well, we haven't worshiped. See, the enemy wants to distract. The pressures of life want to come to distract us so that what? We don't fulfill our purpose. And so one of the reasons we gather together is to help remind us of our purpose. Now, surely we know this, that this is not, and I hope it's not with you, this is not the only time we're to worship, is it? But what we come together, and this reminds us of our purpose. My purpose is to worship God. My purpose is to keep Him first in my life. My purpose is to get to know Him better and better. That's why I come to hear the Word taught, the Word preached. That's why we come together to encourage one another and to lift up one another. It reminds me that I have a purpose that's greater than my job, greater than paying my bills. Because let's face it, most of us will work probably minimum 40 hours a week. I say minimum anymore because most people probably work 50 to 60 hours a week, and some even more. And so it's real easy for us to begin to lose focus on what our purpose is. We begin to think our purpose is to work and to save a bunch of money and to pay the bills and all that. But let's remember what it's really about. It's to know Him. It's to worship Him. And it's what? To make Him known. It's to make Him known. It's to carry His grace and His love and His power to touch other people's lives. It's to touch other people's lives. It's to make a difference in this world that will not only make a difference in this world, but make a difference in the world to come. Amen? Hebrews 12:1, you don't have to turn over there. Let me just remind you of what it says. It says that we are running this race, and he said we are to put off every sin, every hindrance, everything that would hold us back from running this race. Or we could say it this way, from fulfilling His purpose. From fulfilling His purpose. This time this year, this time of prayer and fasting at the first of the year, when we seek God and wait on God, it's a good time to do inventory. It's a good time to do inventory. Is there anything in my life that's holding me back from the purpose of God? What's holding me back from worship? Is it fears? Is it concerns? Is it problems? Is it anxieties? What's holding me back from focusing in on discovering and getting to know God better this year? Is other things taking up my time? Is other things absorbing my interest? Is my first love, is it still the Lord God? Or is it something else that's taken up my first love? Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said in chapter 13, he said, examine yourselves and see if you're still in the faith. He's not talking about to see if you're still saved. He's talking about to see if you're still walking out and in the purpose of God. I read the other day, I saw where, some of you may have heard it or read about it, where the big cruise ship in Italy ran aground. Yeah. And, man, it was bad. I mean, they had to rescue thousands of people, and some are still missing. But you know what happened? They got off on their direction, either human error or instrument error, and they were off by 5 nautical miles. And you know, probably registered on the instrument as just a little bitty degree, not even probably a degree. But what happened? Somewhere, something, either an instrument or human, what? They lost their focus. They lost it, and they got distracted, or some type of malfunction, and what was meant to be a pleasurable cruise turned out to be a disastrous cruise. And see, and same thing is in our life. And so this is why it's good to, at the first of the year, we pull back again and we begin through prayer and just getting back in the Word and saturating ourselves for a time and making sure that what? We are in the purpose of God. We're following God's plan for our life. You know, I found out there are two times when difficulties come to us in life. When we're following God's will, and when we're out of God's will. You say, is there a third choice? Can I hear, what's behind door number 3? When you follow God's plan, when you follow God's purpose, the enemy, we just said, remember, this is why he said strive. The enemy will try to come up and knock you out of the race. He will try to discourage you from the purpose and plan of God for his life. for your life. Isn't that true? He'll tell you, no. It's not important. You can't do it. He'll try to discourage you. He'll try to throw up obstacles to you. He'll even send other people to try to tell you that you shouldn't be doing that. Oh, you're going way overboard. You're taking this Christianity stuff. I mean, you know, I believe in it to a degree. You know, but let's don't get, you know, I don't believe in getting too fanatical. But yet they'll go yell their head off at the ball game. You know, what's fan short for? Fanatic, isn't that right? Hallelujah. I don't care if you're a sports fan, but be a bigger Jesus fan. Amen. But see, we have to bring things back in perspective, because we can be living our life, thinking we're doing pretty good, and all of a sudden, instead of ending up over here, we end up over here. And that was never our intention. That was never our purpose. We didn't plan it that way, but we didn't take time to draw back and examine occasionally and say, wait a minute, am I following God's plan for my life? And I'm not talking about just some spooky, I mean just, you know, hey, am I doing what this book teaches? Am I walking in the Word? Am I walking in what Jesus taught? See, some people, they can't fulfill the purpose of God because they're out of the will of God. You know, one area is they won't forgive. Do you know if you are in unforgiveness, you're out of the will of God? Come on. You're holding a grudge, you're out of the will of God. Things won't work well for you. Your prayer life won't work well for you. Your faith won't work well for you. Why? You're in unforgiveness. Faith works by love. Faith doesn't work by unforgiveness. Prayers work by faith. They don't work through unforgiveness. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone. He said, because if you don't forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you. See, we're looking for some big thing. God must have called me to be an apostle, and I've missed it that way. No, it's probably that person you won't forgive. Come on. It's that person you're mad at. Oh, you know, you don't say anything anymore. You just give them the silent treatment. Come on. You're holding that grudge. You're out of the will of God. Are you listening? Yeah, maybe you've allowed the enemy to discourage you, and you've given up on your prayer life, and you're not praying much anymore, or you don't pray at all. You're out of the will of God, because the Bible says pray without ceasing. So I want to make you see. We start first by examining. Say, okay, what does the Word say? Am I ordering my life according to God's Word, according to the teaching? I mean, I say I'm a Christian. I say I'm saved. I say I'm born again. I say I'm going to heaven. I say I love God. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, what did he say? He said, you'll keep my commandments. Isn't that right? So we have to examine ourselves because, you know, it's like one brother said a long time ago. It's true, though. He said, we judge others by their actions and ourselves by our intentions. I don't know any believer that's sincere that doesn't intend to do the right thing, but just because you intend to do the right thing doesn't mean you are. So what? From time to time, we must examine ourselves. Isn't that right? We are, it also means in Romans 15:30, you don't have to turn there, just jot down that scripture. Paul said that he asked the people there to strive together with him in prayer. To strive together with him in prayer. In other words, that word means to struggle in or with company. So there is an individual purpose and plan of God for my life that I must strive and struggle to enter into. But also, the Bible indicates that together as a people, there is what? A group of people God's called us together to that has a purpose and a plan, and together we enter into a struggle. That's the reason for a local church. I talk to people all the time. Say, well, you know, I just go from this church to that church to this church to that church to this church to that church. You're never going to enter into purpose. Are you listening? You're never going to enter into your purpose. What you need to do is seek God and say, okay, God, where do you want me to put down some roots? put down some faith roots. Now, I understand, you know, people visit and so forth, but I'm talking about you can't visit every week. If you're visiting every week, then you're just roaming around. But I'm talking about there's some place where you say, that's home, that's where God has set me, that's where I'm going to contribute my abilities and talents, and prayer is going to be primarily focused there, because in company together, what, we're going to strive, what, to fulfill the purpose of God. And see, we can do more together than we can individually. Pastor Dwayne quoted that scripture, one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. Amen? And God has called us. And so you need to, if you haven't already settled it, settle this year. Where is God planting me? Where has God set me to put some roots down, to use my faith and my prayers and my talents and my abilities along with whoever else God has planted in that local church? And together, what? We do something corporately that's bigger than what we can do by ourselves. Amen? Absolutely. Absolutely. It also means to contend for the mastery. He said in 2 Timothy 2:5, he talks about this striving. He said, is to run this race like an Olympian athlete. In other words, discipline, purpose, and giving ourselves fully to it. Amen? You know, I've read a little bit about certain Olympian athletes in general. And you know, when they are training for the Olympics, I mean, I'm telling you what, they are absolutely fanatical about it. There is nothing else hardly in their vision. I mean, it's all about training. It's all about diet. It's all about discipline. Day after day after day after day after day, they're doing this. And Paul says that's for an earthly crown that will perish. How much more we who are striving, as Paul said, what, for that heavenly prize, that heavenly purpose. Listen, God has called us as well as saved us. And that calling is connected to His purpose. You say, well, Pastor, I'm waiting for you to tell me what that purpose is. I can't. Only one can tell you what your purpose is. And that is the one that you need to see. That is the one that you need to spend time with in prayer. You get this book, the Bible. You get in prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to show you your purpose. Well, He showed it to me, Pastor. He said, I should do nothing, give nothing, sacrifice nothing. Well, you better go back and look again. Because here's the thing, every one of us will give an account for our purpose. For our purpose. For our purpose. Listen, our words, listen to me carefully because I'm closing, believe it or not. I am. Our words are an indicator of where we are in our purpose. They are our words that we speak out of our mouth. They're like a compass. You know, you look at a compass, and there's two things you can tell. You can tell where you came from, and you can tell where you're going. Isn't that right? You hold that compass. You face this way, you know, okay, I'm facing a certain direction. I'm facing east, okay, or south, or north, or whichever. But you can tell which direction you've come from. Your words are that way. You listen to people long enough, you hear the words that come out of their mouth constantly, and I would encourage you to listen to the words that come out of your own mouth constantly, and you're going to find out exactly where you are in purpose. Are your words filled with fear, doubt, concern, always talking about the problems, the test, the trial, how bad you feel, how bad things are, how bad things are going to get, how bad things probably are going to get? Come on. But here's the thing. Is that God's purpose? No. I said no. Why shouldn't we be speaking words that have to do with God's purpose? God saved me. God's called me. He's called me to good works. He's called me to let my light shine. He's called me to make His name known to those who are lost and in darkness. He's called me to reveal His love and His grace to other people. I mean, why don't we talk about the things that have to do with our purpose rather than the things that are trying to keep us from our purpose? Are you listening? James said this. He said, our words are like the rudder on a ship. He said, when the captain of the ship wants it to go a certain direction, all he does is what? He moves the rudder, doesn't he? He turns the rudder. When he turns the rudder, the ship goes accordingly. Our tongue is like a rudder that speaks words. Our words are determining where we're going to go. It lets everybody know. Because see, on the inside, we can have an intention, but in our mouth, we're speaking contrary. James calls that double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. This is why a lot of people get nowhere in the purpose of God. They're wonderful people. They love God. They're saved, but they don't enter into God's purpose because they're double-minded all the time. They have one intention that's put in them by God, but all they can do is see the problem, see the obstacles, see the circumstance, and they just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk all that junk all the time. They never get around to talking about God's promises, God's purpose, God's plan, speaking that out their mouth. And let me remind you, the Bible says that God has given us, what, Acts 1:8, He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. John said this, 1 John 4:4, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? God has given us the means whereby to fulfill our purpose in God. But here's the thing. We have to cooperate. We have to come together in agreement with the Holy Spirit instead of agreeing with our circumstance. Come on. Most people know more about their problems than they do about God. Come on. They know more about what the devil's trying to do than what God's called them to do. And that has to change if we're going to enter into God's purpose. That is why, at the first of this year, we like to have this time of prayer and fasting set aside. And I want to encourage you, even if you're visiting, I want to encourage you, for the sake of God's plan and purpose for your life, don't just assume you're on the right path. Take some time, come apart, and talk to God, and wait on God, and listen to God. Get back into this book and say, wait a minute, God, I want to make sure that I am walking in the light. I want to make sure that I'm walking in your purpose and your plan for my life. I want to make sure that what I'm saying and what I'm believing are in harmony. I want to follow after you this year. I believe this. Remember, I mentioned a minute ago, there's two times when tests and trials come against us. When we're in the will of God and when we're out of the will of God. But here's the caveat on that. When I'm in the will of God and the test and the trial comes, I'm in a position of overcoming. When I'm out of the will of God and the test and the trial and the circumstances come, I'm in the position of being overcome. Are you listening? So, you're going to be in a battle either way. But the difference is winning the battle or losing the battle. And that's a big difference. And so here's the thing I would say to you. If you feel like in 2011, that whole year was just a struggle. Oh my God, I'm just in one thing and in the next and out of one thing or in the same thing and I'm, you know, and you never see any sign of victory in your life, then that's a good indication that you need to really pull aside and say, wait a minute, God, let me check out here. Did I get off here somewhere? Have I all of a sudden started walking in something that I just assumed was your path? I assumed was your will. I assumed was your purpose. But, you know, it really isn't because what? I'm not seeing any victory. Come on. See, religion tells you that's the way your life should be 24/7, 365 days a year, till death do you part. But the Bible talks about overcoming. The Bible talks about being victorious. The Bible talks about it being under our feet. So yes, we go through times of test and trial, but when I'm in the purpose of God, when I'm in the will of God, you know what? There is a time when I have victory. There is a time when I overcome. Amen? And I can stand there and say, I have overcome. I have victory in my life. And that victory and that overcoming is what magnifies again the degree of God's influence through my life on someone else. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, what happens to them? Well, if I'm always in the battle, but I never have victory, how am I going to tell you how to have victory? Or how am I going to have to tell somebody else how to have victory? So this year, at the beginning of the year, time of prayer and fasting, I want to encourage you, listen to God. That may be Him on the phone. Hallelujah. Well, yeah, everybody knows God's cell phone number, don't they? Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee. That's what it says. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, what? Which you do not know. You say, I'm unsure about God's purpose. I'm unsure about God's direction. Well, then make a phone call. Hallelujah. I'm not sure if God's got texting, but you can call. He's got voicemail. He's got voicemail. Leave him a voicemail. It's called prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. His answer machine's never full. Hallelujah. He won't put you off. Amen. He won't ignore your call. Hallelujah. It's so true, isn't it? And listen, when you make the most important thing in your life, knowing and walking out the purpose of God, that's when we get it. See, that's what striving really amounts to, isn't it? That I'm going to push past everything. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? It says she pushed through the crowd. She heard of Jesus. She pushed through the crowd because she says, my purpose is not to die this day. My purpose is to live. She pushed through the crowd, didn't she? She took a risk. She was willing to push through. She got to Jesus, and she wasn't disappointed. And it may not be a literal crowd that you have to push through to connect with God for your purpose, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be distractions there. There's going to be problems there. There's going to be stuff that you just push through them. And see, this time of prayer and fasting is when we're just like that woman. I'm getting there. All this stuff. We'll see you later. I'll deal with you later, but right now, this is it. You guys can wait till later. God's purpose. He said this, if any person, man, woman, child, lacks wisdom concerning his will, he said to just ask. Boy, did God make it easy for us? Or let me put it this way, He made it simple. Okay? Maybe not easy, but simple. See, what I'm talking about, it's not easy. That's why He says strive. But it is simple. He said, you ask. You ask. One place Jesus said, and keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Why? Because the purpose of God, it's like that pearl of great price. That it is more valuable than anything else in my life. What I want to do right now is I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. And we're going to commit ourselves, those who are willing to, we're going to commit ourselves to the purpose of God.